Now, back to Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101 KXL.
And continuing our conversation with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG, national title based right here in Lake Oswego, Oregon. And Pat, welcome back to the show here on this Sunday afternoon. We left off our last segment talking about this bank settlement, or at least the proposal of this bank settlement. And I agree with you. There are a lot of people looking for some political gain from this. I guess, you know, when I look at the issue itself, where does it stop? I mean, when you start pointing the finger at the banks, and I'm typically not the guy to defend the bank, so I'm not necessarily saying that. I mean, they're to blame, and there were some illegal practices that happened. But what about Joe Sixpack, who took $100,000 out of his home and used it like an ATM and blew it on a bunch of garbage, and now he's upside down? Or what about what about Barney Frank? I mean, you could point the finger at about 12 different parties here, and everybody shares in this, don't they?
Well, I think so, Brian, and I believe you should get a psychologist or a sociologist on your show sometime and talk about how we've created a society of victims, because just in my lifetime, I've watched a country that had a tremendous sense of shared sacrifice after World War II and a unanimity of purpose turn into a nation of people who are looking for someone to sue or someone to blame for their own bad judgment. And that's a pretty broad statement, so I apologize to the listeners if I got a little bit carried away there. But the reality is we do look way, way too hard to satisfy this concept that we're victims. The massive financial collapse, we all shared in it. We all had credit cards. We all borrowed up to the hilt. We all bought cars on credit. We all bought homes with mortgages. We all had 5 TVs. Come on. We're all in this one, and we share some responsibility for the decisions we made. People took mortgages out. They couldn't pay. They got foreclosed. They are not victims.
No.
I mean, now there are victims out there whose process was subverted by illegal practices. That is a very real issue. We cannot allow illegal practices to continue. But it is not everybody. It is actually a fairly small amount. I'm not sure what we're trying to prove by prolonging this, but we're a nation that's self-absorbed sometimes, and this is a prime example.
Yeah, we're doing a good job of extending this into the second half of this decade. It's interesting to see what's happening. We've talked about this a lot. It's a very interesting time to be an American. I think we still are the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we're going to come through this as we've talked about. But as we continue here, it's January. It's typically a time where people are more upbeat, and I think that there's a renewed optimism maybe that this is the year. And as I said off the top of the show, that's great, but maybe let's wait until March or April before we, get too carried away here. What's your assessment at this point?
I think that the projections of the 2%, 2 to 2.5% are very, very accurate. What is happening, and I think will continue to happen, is we are using up the unoccupied homes. We're using them up actually at a pretty good rate now, and I think you can see equilibrium in 2014. With that, you will see a resumption on the investment component of GDP as new construction increases. Now, interestingly enough, we've seen increase in the non-residential component of the investment, and that's multifamily. There are some plans now to start building office buildings and other structures. So we're starting to see some increase in the investment component of the GDP, not related to residential construction. But within a couple of years, we'll start to see residential construction pick up as we get equilibrium. And with that, the economy will grow. So next 2 or 3 years is going to be a slow, slogging process. But I'm optimistic that we can see a general increase in our economic activity. And by 2015, 2016, unemployment will be down, and we'll be feeling pretty good. But we're just going to have to pay for what we've already spent.
Yeah, it's the ultimate hangover, isn't it?
It's the ultimate hangover. That's a very, 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 very good way of putting it.
Well, here we are in almost February now. Hard to believe the first month of the year has gone by, and I know you speak regularly, and in fact, you did this past week to local realtors and professionals on what's going on in the local market. And Oregon tends to lag behind the national economy. We've always been 12 to 18 months behind California. Things are very stagnant here. We talk with Suzanne Stevens from the Portland Business Journal off the top of the show about unemployment in Oregon. And what can we do in this state? I know you're an Oregon State grad. You live here. You chose to start a business here in the worst economy of modern times. If you had your way, how could you fix this economy, Pat? What do we need to do here in Oregon?
Well, you know, we have some of the same issues in Oregon that we have nationally. I do see some very, very progressive thinking on higher education and on trying to create synergies between higher education in this state and corporate America, licensing IP, collaborating between the universities and business, creating more of a research, more of a proactive attitude in the universities. I think all three of the large universities have very progressive perspectives now regarding business and monetizing or capitalizing on their research and their intellectual property. That was a tremendous driver in North Carolina. People on this side of the country sometimes don't understand what a fantastic job North Carolina did with their research triangle. North Carolina was behind Oregon both academically and industrially 30, 40 years ago. Now North Carolina is a premier example of what happens when you have cooperation between higher education and business. So I see that starting to happen here, which is very, very encouraging. I do see that we are getting some economic growth here. We trail a little bit on reducing unemployment and so forth, but I got some good news for you, Brian. Now, this is a little risky, but I'm going to repeat what Clear Capital, friends of mine down in Truckee, California, have a very, very progressive and highly energetic valuation firm. They do a lot of BPOs, they do a lot of appraisals, and then they do a lot of analytics. And they track and project home prices, and they are actually expecting home prices in Oregon to increase this year about 1.9%. And what drives that is a reduction in the amount of REO or distressed properties on the market. So we may see some positives here in Oregon this year in terms of real estate turning around a little bit, in terms of generating some cooperation between business and academics. I'm actually kind of encouraged. I think we're going the right way. There is no major fix, though. There is no instant fix. There's nothing we can do to change it overnight. We're just going to have to work our way out of it.
Doggone it. I thought you'd have some silver bullet for us, Pat. Hey, thanks for joining us. I know you're a busy man. We appreciate your insight. Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on real estate with John DaCosta. He's up next with some interesting news on the local real estate market.